I love to be busy. I was probably to some extent born that way. I think God has made me to be somebody who just loves to be active. I love to be productive. I actually really enjoy working hard on things. But to some degree, I was probably raised that way. In fact, I can remember my grandparents using this phrase. They would say, "Idle hands are the devil's playground." Which now, thinking about it, they really only said that when I was over at their house and there were chores to be done. There is something to be said about making sure that people work hard and we're able to stay productive and we make good use of our time. But for most of us, we're so busy that we're not just full with our schedule, we're actually hurried. And that becomes a problem for our soul. You know, Jesus was somebody who worked hard. He committed to the work that he had. He valued people deeply. He invested in them. He served them. But he also was very disciplined about stepping away, about taking time to rest, about being out in a quiet place where he could be in prayer with his heavenly Father. There's something that we no longer become productive. It actually becomes a problem when our souls are so hurried that we're not able to be present with the people that we love. We're not able to be present with ourselves. And it's especially a problem when we're not able to be present with God. And that's what we've come here to do. That's what the series has been about intentionally taking time to be out in creation, to spend time with God in His world and in His Word. For our souls to slow down and for us to notice all of the things that we've been missing as we've been going throughout the series. I hope you've been taking advantage of that. I hope you've been joining me, spending some intentional time in creation and lingering in times of prayer and in scripture and hearing from the Lord. And today we have the opportunity to do that with yet another psalm that's one of the most intimidating psalms in all of the Psalter. It's Psalm 139, and it speaks about God's invitation to be in relationship with Him. So join me, will you, in Psalm 139. You have searched me, Lord, and you know me. You know when I sit and when I rise. You perceive my thoughts from afar. You discern my going out and my lying down. You are familiar with all of my ways. Before a word is on my tongue, you, Lord, know it completely. You hem me in behind and before, and you lay your hand upon me. Such knowledge is too wonderful for me, too lofty for me to attain. Where can I go from your spirit? Where can I flee from your presence? If I go up to the mountains, you are there. If I make my bed in the depths, you are there. If I rise on the wings of the dawn, if I settle on the far side of the sea, even there your hand will guide me. Your right hand will hold me fast. If I say, surely the darkness will hide me and light becomes night around me, even the darkness will not be dark to you. The night will shine like day, for darkness is as light to you. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty. They speak of you with evil intent. Your adversaries misuse your name. Do I not hate those who hate you, Lord, and abhor those who are in rebellion against you? I have nothing but hatred for them. I count them my enemies. Search me, God, and know my heart. Test me and know my anxious thoughts. See if there is any offensive way in me, and lead me in the way everlasting. This psalm comes to us in three main parts. So if you're a note taker or love to outline these things, I want to invite you to follow these sections with us. Psalm 139 opens with the first 12 verses of God declaring emphatically that he knows us. It speaks that there is no place on this planet, no place in the universe that we could travel, that God wouldn't be there with us, that God wouldn't know us, that God wouldn't be aware of where we are. And that can be really comforting for us. You know, if we're driving up north and we get lost, or we're out here, like on the Appalachian Trail up in the mountains, well beyond cell phone service, it's actually really comforting to know that at least God knows where we are. But that's also really intimidating, that God knows everything about us. It's intimidating to know that God knows our thoughts, that those thoughts that you and I have that nobody else knows, that thought that you had last week about that person that you never shared with anybody, but you let that thought linger in your brain a little bit longer than you should have, God knew that. That thing that you saw that nobody else knows, that you looked at, God knows. That heartbreak that you carry, that you've never opened up or told anybody, God knows. The desires of our heart, God knows. That's what makes the psalm so intimidating, is that there's an intensity there, that every single thing about us, God knows. That he knows the words that we're going to say even before we say them. That speaks of this relational connection. My kids often joke, I'll come home from work and I'll ask them how their day was, and they'll kind of laugh and roll their eyes, and they'll go, Mom just asked us the exact same questions. It's actually now gotten to the point that when my wife comes in and starts asking our kids questions, they says, hold on, we're just going to wait until Dad comes and we'll just do all of this at once, because you guys just say the same thing. Steph and I have been married for over 20 years, and so we know each other, and we kind of know and have similar thoughts, but that's nothing compared to how God knows us. I mean, he knows everything about us. That's what makes this psalm so intimidating. When you stop to consider that you're known by God that much, it exposes us, but it also brings great comfort. Because God knows all of this about us, and he loves us. He still chooses to pursue a relationship with us. He invites us to be in relationship with him through Jesus. And that's what makes this psalm not only so intimidating, but also so comforting. That the God of all creation, who knows us, wants to be in relationship with us. And the reason is because of the second section of this psalm. He made us. That's verses 13 to 18. It declares boldly that God made us. And the image that the psalm gives to us here is not one of somebody who is creating something and then kind of moving on. Like maybe somebody who's an inventor and they come up with a new product and they hand it off to a product manager. Then they move on to go create the next invention. No, this is the image of a master craftsman who loves the art that he's created. And he knit together you, your DNA, your personality, what you think is funny, how your mind works, that everything about you, God wove together just the way he wanted you. That there's an intensity of this relationship because God handcrafted you. And that makes you unique, and it makes you special, and it makes you matter. In fact, David gets really specific here about how God weaves us together, even in our mother's womb. Often this passage of scripture is appropriately used to help reinforce a certain teaching that we have as followers of Jesus. We refer to it as the sanctity of life. It just simply means that we value life. And the reason for that is because God's the author of all life. You know, one of the challenges that's happening in the human nature and in our world today is that we begin to take ownership over our lives. We think that we're in charge of our life, that we're in charge of our body, we're in charge of our life, it's up to us. I mean, there's even some talk now that, you know, we as humans are, we're probably the best people to know when the value of our life has ended, and we should be able to choose when we end our life because we don't consider ourselves to be of value anymore to society. And I just want to say the biblical image of that pushes back against that idea, because we didn't give ourselves life. God's the one who gave us life. And it's up to Him how long we go. And what God says is that every moment that we're alive, whether we feel it or not, we still have value to Him. Because He has all of these amazing thoughts about us. In fact, it says in verse 17, "How precious to me are your thoughts, God." Or you could also translate that, "How amazing are your thoughts concerning me." Did you know that God has many thoughts about you? And He finds those thoughts and finds you to be deeply valuable. Have you ever asked God what He thinks about you? I have some friends that do some inner healing work with people. And one of the most profound questions that they have challenged me to ask God in my own spiritual life is simply to ask God what He thinks about me. You ever stop to do that? To just ask God, "God, what do you want me to know? What do you want to say to me?" You know, when we engage in intentional times of lingering in prayer and asking God to reveal things about us to us, we can actually learn more about ourselves. Do you know that God actually knows you better than you know you? That you can learn more about you by spending time with God who made you and knows you. It's intimidating to ask God what He thinks about us because we're a little concerned about what He might say. And if you ever do that practice, I want to encourage you, whatever you think you hear God say to you about you, confirm it with Scripture. But here's the theme that you're going to hear. You're going to be surprised at the depth of God's thought about you and His incredible love for you. Now, when I say God's love for you, I don't mean that God just affirms everything that we do. Even in moments when God needs to correct us, and He does, and He will through His Spirit, He does so in the most loving way possible. It's God's kindness that leads us to repentance. That God, because He loves and cares for us, doesn't want us to be involved in behavior that harms others or harms ourselves. But even when God communicates that to us, it's not from a place of frustration or disapproval, but from deep love. And then Psalm 139 makes a little bit of a turn. And if you were reading it, maybe you noticed that turn. Maybe you even wondered, is this the same psalm? Like, what happened to David when we get to the third section? That third section is verses 19 to 24. And he says, "If only you, God, would slay the wicked. Away from me, you who are bloodthirsty." After such a beautiful psalm, this feels like it's totally out of place. What happens here at the end of this psalm? Was David just having a bad day, or what was going on? No, the Holy Spirit inspires all of this. These are God's very words. And what happens here is just continue the theme. See, Psalm 139 is celebrating us as God's creation. That just as God made the mountains and the streams and the trees and all of His creation, He handcrafted you and me and put us in creation. And God loves His creation. When you love something that you've made, you protect it. And that's that third section. God protects us. That God wants us to be protected from those who seek harm, from those who want to destroy His creation. And that's what David is talking about. That David is in agreement with God, that he loves and values everything that God made. And he's really frustrated with other people when they don't value what God has made. And that God protects his creation. But what David is doing in this psalm, what the Holy Spirit is teaching us in this psalm, is that same issue, that same sense of evil that exists with people who are against God and want to harm his creation, these anti-creation tendencies that are within the human soul and human nature. What David is saying is, he's saying that's out there is also in here. That same tendency is within me. And in order for God to fully protect me, I need to make sure that the evil that's within me gets out. And so that's why David invites God to examine his soul and see if there's any offensive ways within him. And that is something that requires a lot of intentional time with the Lord, being in the quiet place and letting God speak to us. And that's something that most of us just don't take time to do because we're just so busy and we're hurrying to the next thing. This Appalachian Trail that we're on is impressive. This thing is long. It runs from Georgia all the way up to Maine. It's 2,190 miles. And there are some people who tried to get through it as quickly as possible. In 2025, ultra runner Jeff Garmeyer completed what is known as the fastest known time on this trail, unsupported. Now, unsupported means Jeff did this all by himself. He had no help. No one carried a backpack. Nobody paced him. Nobody handed him a water bottle. He had to do every single thing by himself. And this fastest known time to complete this over 2,000 mile journey on some really beautiful but also brutal trails, he completed in 45 days, 8 hours, and 37 minutes. That's an impressive feat. Jeff covered over 50 miles a day for 45 days, and he did it without any help. So in order to complete this, Jeff had to mail boxes to himself at different post offices that were along this route, and he had 18 different boxes he mailed to himself, and he ran into some trouble along the way, as you would expect doing something like this. The first box that he showed up to receive that he had mailed to himself was finally a new pair of shoes. About every 400 miles, he had mailed himself new shoes. And he opened the box to realize that he had accidentally put two left shoes in the same box. What a tough way to begin this journey. So he duct taped his shoes together and kept going. And Jeff, in reflecting on this experience, said that every time he ran into trouble, he had to brainstorm while he was moving because he was trying to complete this trail as fast as possible. This trail is beautiful. It's gorgeous. I mean, look at some of these views. And most hikers will linger on this trail and just absorb everything that's there, not Jeff. Now, Jeff said that when he was on this trail, because he was trying to do it as quick as possible, he would walk or run right past some of these amazing waterfalls and outlooks and mountain stops and all of these things that people would take time to pull cameras out and enjoy, Jeff missed, oftentimes walking past them in the middle of the night or not stopping at all because he was on the move. And when I heard Jeff talk about this experience, I thought, man, that's just my life. Like, at times, God has these amazing things that he wants to reveal to me about his creation or about me as his creation. And I'm just so busy that I run right past it. Psalm 139 invites us to pause, to linger, to let God examine us so that God can share with us what's going on within us and we can join him in relationship. And so I want to invite you this week to take Psalm 139. To go slow through it, and then to invite the Holy Spirit to examine you. In fact, I want to end this time together by doing just that. I'm going to read the last few verses of Psalm 139, and I just want to invite you to allow the Holy Spirit to speak to you, to ask God what He wants to say to you about you. So would you bow your head with me? And if you're in a spot where you can close your eyes. For you created my inmost being. You knit me together in my mother's womb. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. My frame was not hidden from you when I was made in the secret place, when I was woven together in the depths of the earth. Your eyes saw my unformed body. All the days ordained for me were written in your book before one of them came to be. How precious to me are your thoughts, God. How vast is the sum of them. Were I to count them, they would outnumber the grains of sand. When I awake, I am still with you. Father, we come to you and we're grateful for your word. Father, this is an intimidating psalm because it pierces into our soul and it speaks to us about our relationship with you. But Father, because you know us so well, because you're the one who made us, Father, we ask now that, as David writes, that you would search us, God. That you who know our heart, that you would test us. That you would know our anxious thoughts. Father, through your Spirit, would you reveal to us now any anxious thoughts that we're holding on to? Father, would you reveal now to us if there's any offensive way within us? Father, are there any actions or behaviors that we've been participating in that are against you and against your creation? Father, as you have revealed those to us, we just want to silently confess them to you now. And Father, we want to ask that we would turn away from them. Lord, we're grateful for the gift of Jesus. That it's because of his sacrifice on the cross that the punishment for those offensive ways has already been covered. It's already been done by Jesus. And we're grateful for the forgiveness that you offer us and have given us through him. And so, Father, we now ask, as David ends this psalm, that you would lead us in the way everlasting. Father, that we would trust not our own desires, not our own feelings, not our own thoughts, not our own inclinations. Father, that we would not be dominated by our own schedule. But Lord, we would trust your Spirit to lead us. And Father, we pray that you would lead us in the way everlasting. So Spirit, we ask, what is it you want us to know? And Father, what is it you want us to do? Father, give us the strength to follow through with what you've called us to do. It's in your name we pray. Amen.